It is a big-time Monday edition of the Sports Rush. Welcome to it. I am Brett Rump, along with Caleb Hatch. Coming up on this show, we are all over the Comets Game 5, a deciding game in the opening round of the ECHL playoffs, as Wichita forced a Game 5, but it will be on Coliseum ice, so it is out at the Jungle tonight. Game time at 7:30. Shane Alberani has the call on our sister station, 1190 WOWO and 107.5 FM. And we'll talk to Shane Alberani coming up in our second hour. In our first hour, we'll get the word from Justin Cohn from the Journal-Gazette. We'll find out what he expects from tonight's Comets-Wichita Thunder Game 5. And, boy, this is what the playoffs is about. It's the rare opportunity to actually host a Game 5, and the Comets shouldn't even be hosting this one. So I say, let's take advantage of it. Let's let Wichita go home and ponder and think about the fact that if we had an arena that would have been available and Disney on Ice didn't happen to come into town that week, that maybe we could have hosted the deciding game, and maybe being on the road in a hostile environment wouldn't have cost us the series. Well, you know, we told you Friday what the keys to the game were going to be for the Friday night contest. I did say on Friday, whoever won Friday's game would win the series. So I'm going with the Comets tonight because the Comets won on Friday and they checked off every one of the keys. Went through them on Friday. Think they still apply for tonight because I don't think they were as evident on Saturday's game as they were on Friday's game. But I said, number one, the defense from the forwards getting back in transition. The forwards have to sprint back. Is it sprinting on skates? Hustle back? Whatever they've got to do on skates, they got to get back. Because there's too many times, and I watch these highlights of goals, and I watch every one of them. And Justin Cohn does a nice job of posting highlights of almost everything that happens in every game. And so I always go on, and I look up Justin's Twitter account. I click the link to watch the video that he posts that has highlights. And in almost every one of them, the opponent's goals this year, it made it look like the Comets just were not playing in any kind of desperation mode. It was just like a little cruise down the ice, kind of trailing a guy down the ice all the way through the neutral zone. And then once you hit the blue line, the opponent makes a dash for the net. Comet guy can't catch up. Well, I saw that on Saturday's game a couple of times where I thought it's just too easy for Wichita. And they scored a couple of transition goals. We heard Ben Boudreau say, you know, one thing about Wichita is they will jump out and transition. They'll try to burn you and catch you in transition. And so I think on Friday night they were trying like three-quarter length ice passes. They were trying to catch the Comets defenseman a step or two slow. And so the keys still apply. Defense from the forwards, they've got to get back. They've got to beat Wichita, especially on those two-on-ones where you get a defenseman that's busting his tail because he's thinking of covering the other guy that's open on the two-on-one. And what happens a lot of times, the guy that ends up open is the third man. And so that's going to be a key. You also have to stay out of the penalty box. You just can't spend your night killing penalties. Although the Comets have been pretty good at not only killing penalties, they've been pretty good at getting a couple shorthanded goals. And it's time for the big-time scorers to be big-time scorers. The guys that were brought in to lead the offense this year, guys like Justin Vive, A.J. Jenks, Anthony Petruzzelli, Marco Waugh, and Sean Sadlowski. I mean, these are guys that are supposed to be goal scorers, and they've got to light the lamp or at least get the puck on the net and let there be some junk in front of the Wichita goalie so that they can have somebody pop it in the net. That's how the Comets ended up scoring their goals on Friday. They just made things kind of ugly. They got in front of the goalie. They screened him. They forced him to mishandle a couple of rebounds, and that's how the Comets can score. They made it an exciting game on Saturday. They got to within one, but then an empty netter put it away. Wichita ended up winning game four by a 4-2 final. And so tonight it is game five at the Coliseum. Nothing like it in playoff hockey. And the crowd will make a difference tonight. And that's the most important thing. You've got a chance to get out and actually have an impact on this game at the Memorial Coliseum. Why do you want to be at the Jungle tonight? Number one, shouldn't even be hosting this game. Comets really didn't earn this deciding game on their home ice. Take advantage of it. It's an opportunity. Make Wichita pay for that and be at the Coliseum. Number two, deciding games being played on home ice are rare. We haven't had that many of them in Fort Wayne where it gets to a game seven or it gets to a game five and you've got a deciding game in a series and it's being played on your home ice. It's a rarity and an opportunity to see something that doesn't happen very often. Number three, home crowds can have an impact on these games this year because the players are not accustomed to having crowds or large crowds, especially loud, large crowds like you can get at the Coliseum. They're not used to it. And so I think you can have an impact. You can alter the game because they've been cruising around playing in front of 1,100, 1,200, 1,400 all season long. And all of a sudden, you got a chance to put 5,000 people at the Coliseum. Take advantage of it. Be one of the 5,000. Don't miss the game tonight. It's also a Monday night without Tin Caps baseball because they finished up their homestand yesterday. And you know, another reason it's a Monday night. What else you got going on? You tell me there's something on your calendar on a Monday night. Come on. Coliseum, that's the place to be tonight for Game 5 between the Comets and Wichita. We're going to be all over this game telling you what to expect, what we saw this weekend. I'll tell you, these are two really good hockey teams with a couple of good goalies. But Dylan Ferguson has to be the man. That's key number four. Dylan Ferguson, you got to count on your goalie to come up big in a deciding game. They're the most important player on the ice. And so Ferguson was terrific in the shutout on Friday. He needs to have that kind of game again tonight. Wasn't perfect on Saturday. Gave up one that I thought he should have stopped. A couple of them he really didn't have much chance at. But he had one that I think he could have and maybe should have stopped. But Dylan Ferguson's got to be the man in the net. That he's a young, hot prospect. A lot's expected from him, especially with his future. And this is where he kind of earns the reputation a little bit and goes out and does the job to advance the Comets into the next round. That's what it is. It's the Comets season is over where the Comets get to go on. And I guess they would take on Allen, who swept through Utah. That was not much of a series. Allen, I think right now, and I think Coney picked Allen, right? That was his team he picked. And right now, I don't think there's a question. Allen is playing head and shoulders above everybody else in the ECHL. And Florida was another team that's been hot, that's kind of been at the top of the league standings all year long. But Florida has been forced into a Game 5. South Carolina, the Stingrays ended up beating them in Game 4, forcing the Game 5. I think that might be tonight down in Fort Myers. But big game tonight, and we'll be all over it because we've got Justin Cohn coming up at 4:35 and Shane Alberani coming up at 5:20. If you've got questions, comments, or suggestions, get a hold of us on our Parkview Sports Medicine text line at 46862. That's 46862. Speaking of the Tin Caps, they wrapped up their 12-game homestand, which is the longest in franchise history. Now, normally that would mean that you've had four different teams all come to your place to play, because usually a series is three games on average. Occasionally you sneak in a four-game series, but because of the unique scheduling of the High A Central this year from Major League Baseball, because of the protocols and the adjustments to the schedule, you host a team six times. So you have six games, and if you're home 2 weeks in a row, that makes it a 12-game homestand, but it also means 12 games in 13 days, which for the staff down at Parkview Field and for the Tin Cap staff, that's a heck of a grind that they've had the last couple of weeks. Most people don't realize. They show up at the ballpark, and you know, when the doors open, you figure that's when work begins. Well, for a lot of the Tin Cap staff, they've been working since the morning and will work well after you leave the ballpark. And then the next day, they're right back at it again. Sometimes getting into the ballpark between 9 and 10 o'clock in the morning, not leaving the ballpark till after midnight, and right back at it, do it again the next day, and you do it 12 out of 13 days. And you can imagine they're all enjoying their day off today. But what a good weekend for the Tin Caps. They got the bats going, And I think really they set the tone for the two wins on Saturday and Sunday. On Friday night, they got behind 7-0 on Friday and ended up staging a bit of a rally. They didn't quite get the job done, but they did close the gap and make things at least interesting, and ended up losing that game on Friday 8-5. But the fact that the Tin Caps got the bats going late in Friday's game, and I even mentioned this on the broadcast with Jack McMullen, was that I thought that was something they could take with them, some momentum they could take into Saturday's game. And they absolutely did. They came out, jumped on Lake County 7-1 on Saturday, delighting the crowd that was there, the biggest one of the year, getting all geared up for the Saturday night fireworks and the Comets. Got to keep my team straight. The Tin Caps ended up winning on Saturday 10-2. And I thought it was the most complete game they've played all year long, as far as starting pitching, relief pitching, at-bats, defensively in the field, making plays. And then on Sunday, they finished off the week getting the split of the six-game series after dropping three of the first four. They ended up winning yesterday 7-6. Pretty dramatic game yesterday. The Tin Caps got in front 6-1, and eventually the game ended up tied. Tin Caps end up winning it with a run in the eighth, and it ends up being a 7-6 contest. So Tin Caps split the week with Lake County, which I think they'll take at this point, because Lake County had won 5 out of 6 against the Tin Caps when they went there and played a couple of weeks prior to it. And with the Lake County taking 3 of the first 4, it just seemed like Lake County had the Tin Caps number. And so to come back and win a couple of games over the weekend, now you've got the two wins to think about during your off day. You don't have to worry about thinking of a loss, which the Tin Caps had last couple of weeks, losing the Sunday game. So they have their day off today. They're on the road now for 2 weeks. They'll go to Dayton for this week, and then they'll be in South Bend again next week. But then they'll come back home on June 29th. And do you know what is June 29th? Yes, it is when the Tin Caps will open up 100% availability on tickets for seats. That means you can get tickets starting tomorrow for the rest of the season and sit in any seat you desire. I guess you don't have one of the fat heads or whatever they call them, the cardboard cutouts. You don't have one of those down there, do
no,
you?
No, I'm not that special.
No, I really am not that special either, but some reason they got one. But I would imagine no more cardboard cutouts. I would think if you're part of that cardboard cutout crew that your time in the front row is done. They're kicking you out.
You're going to have to pay to actually sit in the front row now. You can't just have your stand-in.
And you can't just put your cardboard cutout. You've got to actually show up and sit in the seat. Your cardboard cutout doesn't cheer quite as much as a regular person.
The cheering is a little flat.
A little muted. Yeah, a little flat. Yeah, so it's going to be every seat for sale, and that starts tomorrow at 10 a.m. You can get the tickets online at tincapstickets.com. You can also get them at the Parkview Field ticket office. What'd you do this weekend, Caleb?
What did I do? Let's see. I'm trying to remember because I was so busy doing different things. One of my friends.
You vegged it all weekend, didn't you? You just couched it and watched.
No.
Oh, okay.
No. Like I honestly cannot recall what I did Friday night. Not because it was like wild, but I felt like I was busy. You know, I went to the farmer's market Saturday, well, both farmer's markets, and picked up German Fest food Saturday. And then Saturday afternoon, evening, one of my friends was in town. We were going to go to the Fort Wayne FC game that was canceled.
Yes.
So he and I just kind of went out downtown, and that was fun. And then Sunday, I helped a friend move, who's moving back to Michigan, and then was at a cookout at another friend's house.
One thing about getting old.
Very busy.
One thing about getting old, Caleb, you know, there's a lot of negatives, but one positive, you don't get called to come help friends move anymore.
Well, yeah. I mean, to me, I'm still young enough that I see it as like, oh, this is my workout for the day. So I'm set. You know, the heavy lifting, like I'm like a little sore, but not as sore as I thought I'd be. And it was so hot and humid, even Sunday morning. When we started,
it was
like,
a workout.
11:30. Oh yeah, I mean, legitimate workout for hour and a half.
You know, when I was very young 20s, I had an incident that injured my back, and I had back problems, and I've always had back problems. And so the doctor told me at the time, well, you can have surgery, but you're going to be primarily laid up for about 6 months trying to recover and rehab from the surgery. Or he said, it's probably a thing that's going to come and go. He says, just have to be careful and try not to lift things that are over 15, 20 pounds. Well, do you know how hard it is to tell friends that you're 6'4", you're 220 pounds, but I'll carry the glasses or something. I mean, it's like, don't give me the couch. Don't give me the chair. I can't carry that. That's over 15. You know, they think that I am such a wimp when I show up and say, you know, guys, I can help, but I can't carry the 15 pound stuff. But that, you know, and so I would always help when asked. I would try to suck it up, and then I would be darn near paralyzed for about 3 days.
I have a shoulder. My left shoulder has had tendonitis for, almost 10 years now, since into college. And the exercise does not impact it. It's if I like toss and turn when I sleep, or if I'm really stressed, or even sometimes if the weather changes and it gets rainy, like it'll flare up. And I'm actually noticing that it's like actually fine for the first time in like a few weeks. It was real bad for a while. So thankfully exercise probably helps it more than it hurts it.
And heat and humidity probably aren't a bad thing for it either.
No, definitely not. Those, you know, I noticed it was really bad in the winter because of just stress and probably the cold weather.
Yeah. 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. Big congrats goes out to the Eastside Blazers. We talked to both coaches that participated in the semi-state this past weekend. Of course, Norwell coach Dave Goodmiller, Aaron Willard, the coach of Eastside. Unfortunately, we ended up 1-1. Norwell did not get the job done against Hanover Central. That team, as when we talked to Coach Goodmiller last week, we said, you know, that's a legit team. They've got some serious talent on Hanover Central, and they ended up beating Norwell 7-0. But the Eastside Blazers rolled. It was no problem with Delphi. They had a near no-hitter. Owen Willard took a no-hitter into the sixth inning. They end up getting a 9-0 lead. Eventually, they win it. I believe the final was 9-1 over Delphi. They're going on to the state championship coming up this weekend. They'll take on Providence, who won the southern portion semi-state by a final score 14-1 over University. That was a bit of a surprise because Providence had a couple of close games in the sectionals and regionals, but they had no problem in the semi-state, winning it 14-1. And so Eastside and Providence in the Class 2A State Baseball Championship. Go Blazers, representing the 260. We will come back, still on the way this hour. We've got Justin Cohn coming up at about 4:35. Next hour, Shane Alberani, the voice of the Comets. He'll get on with us at about 5:20. It's a packed Monday edition of The Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. I'm sorry, Caleb, but you've got to do it. You have got to do it. I mean, this team deserves their theme song. Don't sit there and shake your head. No, they deserve the theme song. Come on, Caleb. You cannot come in here as a producer and break tradition.
I do not care one iota about the Chicago Cubs.
No, but you're pushing the buttons. You're the producer. The Chicago Cubs had a heck of a week.
The Reds had a good week, too. I mean, just throwing that out there.
Not as good as the Cubs. The Cubs swept their rival, the St. Louis Cardinals. I mean, I tell you, I'm starting to jump on the bandwagon for the Chicago Cubs because this is a bunch of no-name guys. I mean, yeah, Chris Bryant, but did you expect the year you're getting out of Chris Bryant? He's now leading third baseman as all-star vote, and he doesn't even play third base. He plays outfield. So because now at third base, you've got Patrick Wisdom, who is just tearing it up. Now, he's kind of quieted down a little bit, but the guy's still some kind of player as he's come into the lineup and really had an impact. The pitching staff is just, a bunch of guys that maybe were the odd man out in a number of situations, whatever it might be. Even Kyle Hendricks. I mean, is that the ace of your staff? I mean, think about it. Kyle Hendricks is the ace. And that almost seems impossible. But Zach Davies, he pitched last night, didn't give up a run. I mean, the guy has been terrific. Of course, Padres fans remember Zach Davies from his time in San Diego. Davies has allowed zero or one run in four of his last five starts. That's how good he has been. Last night, no runs allowed. Cubs end up winning it 2-0. Zach Davies also, not only 4 out of 5 has he allowed zero or one run, 6 out of his 8 starts, his last 8 starts, he's allowed zero or one run. I mean, that's some dominant stuff from Zach Davies. I think he's had one really poor start, one that's not good, but other than that, he's come through, I think, and given the Cubs far more than they could have ever expected. And the question is, would Yu Darvish have given them more? You know, the Cubs, since May 1st, they are 3-0 versus the Dodgers, 5-1 versus the Cardinals, and 5-1 versus the Padres. Those are three of the better teams in the National League, and the Cubs, head-to-head, are dominating them. That's a combined record of 13-2 against the Cardinals, Dodgers, and Padres. Now, at some point, they deserve the song on this show, Caleb. You're going to have to give in. I might keep trying if the Cubs keep winning. I'm going to tell you that.
I
might break into song. I might actually sing it if you don't play it. Yeah, that's how bad it's going.
You're going to have to do that because I don't think you understand how much I will not give the Cubs any credit for anything. I've had friends who told me they muted me, blocked me, unfollowed me during 2016, like on social media, because I just was trolling the Cubs constantly.
They didn't want the negative attitude.
Yeah, they didn't want my commentary.
Gotta wonder if there's something special about this team this year, though. I mean, really, the way some guys are just stepping into roles and performing, and the year that Rizzo and Bryant and Baez are having, and all of a sudden now you've got huge decisions to make. For the Cubs front office, they've got to decide, do you give the extensions? Do you pay the big money to these guys? Or do you try to trade them and get something in return? But can you imagine the Cubs fan base and how they're going to turn on the franchise if you take this team that's winning at this rate? They're 20-7 over the last month. And if you all of a sudden try to dump off a bunch of their star players that have been there, and what, most of them that were there when they won that championship. And so, you know, guys like Rizzo and Bryant, they represent Cubs' success, even if the team isn't good in the present. Right now, though, they're good. And you have to admit they're good. They're beating the best teams in the league. Then they picked on the Pirates for a few games. You know, and they're tied right now in first place in the National League Central with Milwaukee. And Milwaukee's there because they just had a cake schedule. They just played the Tigers, the Diamondbacks, the Pirates. And yeah, they played a few games against the Reds. So those are, those games are the games that the Brewers just played. So they've had a pretty easy schedule while the Cubs were playing perhaps the toughest month of their schedule they've got all season. I tell you, we've got to give them some love, Caleb. When are you off? You taking a vacation sometime? I might have to come in and no, can't do it that way.
No, my next scheduled day off is like August 8th or 9th.
Maybe so. I'd have to start planning a special Cub show just when you're not here.
You can on August August the 9th. Oh. Monday, August 9th, I will be out.
Oh, Caleb, they'll be in last place by then. Right now is when it's a hot topic. Right now is when they're good. Only talk about the Cubs, and I don't talk a lot of baseball on this show, but I only talk about the Cubs when the Cubs are doing something we're talking about. Fly the W, baby. They are winning games right and left, sweeping the St. Louis Cardinals. Oh, I love the quote I saw on Facebook that said, St. Louis is the cleanest town in the country this morning because they've just been swept. You aren't joining in at all.
I don't like the Cardinals segment.
I think this segment is just hurting you. I think you've turned me out.
Well, because I hate the Cubs. I hate the Cardinals. I'm a Reds fan now. I'm not like hardcore baseball, but I mean, the Reds are still in it after May 1st. I'm happy. After June 1st, I'm thrilled. So
they're,
I mean, they're at or slightly above expectation.
Yeah.
Everybody kind of expected that this division would be four teams fighting it out at about a 500 winning percentage.
Which is how it is every year.
Which is, well, I mean, occasionally you have the Cubs year or the Brewers year. Cardinals have had a couple of big years. Somebody usually separates themselves, but right now the separation is the Cubs. I mean, the Brewers, okay. But the Brewers played such a weak schedule over the last 2 weeks. I want to see what happens when the Brewers play those same teams the Cubs just played. Craig Kimbrel, I mean, Cubs fans are ready to write him off because it's like, what are we doing paying all this money to a closer who can't close? Got this weak stuff he comes in from the bullpen with. Now, all of a sudden, he is like one of the top closers in baseball. That's something special about this team, Caleb. Got to get on the bandwagon, and I know you never will. I'll never hop on. If you've gotten this far in life without having at least some moment where you've joined in with the Cubs fandom, and you've gotten this far and you've never done it, there's nothing I can do to get you there.
Again, to reiterate, I have been trolling Cubs fans since 2003 in the Bartman. Everything happened with Bartman.
So you have
so that playoff
that.
Run. So Juan Pierre, Luis Castillo, if that brings back negative memories, Cubs fans, I'm not sorry.
Okay, let's move into the Anthony Rizzo may have had the greatest at bat in the history of baseball, Caleb. No, not even an Anthony Rizzo acknowledgement for what he did on Friday.
I didn't see the video, but someone did post it.
So you do know what happened.
I know what you're talking
about.
This
is unbelievable what Anthony Rizzo did. First of all, the Cubs celebrated their second opening day because it was the opening day that fans could actually fill the ballparks. They had over 40,000 fans there on Friday. Bill Murray sang the seventh inning stretch. Anthony Rizzo had an at bat that might have lasted the equivalency of like two innings of baseball. He, first of all, every time after every pitch, he's got to step out, adjust the gloves. So, of course, the at bat takes forever. Anyway, he ended up fouling off 10 pitches. He had a 14-pitch at bat. Now, you think about that. Every pitch, boom, foul ball, souvenir, step out, adjust the gloves, step in, another pitch from Ponce de Leon. Boom, foul ball, another one in the seats. Steps out, adjusts the gloves, steps back in. Well, finally, when it got to like 7, 8, 9 foul balls, fans were going nuts. And you just hear them all cheering. And they're cheering for Anthony Rizzo to keep hitting foul balls. Now, you know, that's Cubs fans for you. Nothing like a good cheer for a foul ball.
Wait, hang on. The guy pitching was Ponce de Leon?
Yeah. Yeah, actually, that's his name. That is his name. Don't look at me funny. That's his name. He's a pitcher.
Not to be confused with Juan Ponce de Leon, the guy who was looking for the Fountain of Youth.
That's probably, yes. and that just adds to the story. But anyway, he gets to the 14th pitch of this at bat after fouling off 10 pitches. Here's the thing. The 14th pitch comes, and the count is still 2-2. He had fouled off so many pitches, it didn't even get to a three-ball count. And it's a 2-2 count. 14th pitch, Rizzo deposits it into the right field bleachers. Now, tell me that's not some drama. That's not a sign that there's some kind of an intervention going on with this team. Tell you, Caleb. Something special about the Cubs. Go, Cubs, go. Go, Cubs, go.
Like they need a song to feel good about themselves. I mean, how ridiculous is that?
I told you I'm going to sing it if you're not going to play it. All right, we got to take a break. We got to talk Comet hockey coming up next. Maybe Justin Cohn won't join me. He won't sing. But we'll get Justin Cohn's takes on tonight's big Game 5 taking place at the Memorial Coliseum. Comets in Wichita. That comes up next right here on the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. We are back on the Sports Rush. It is a huge Monday because we've got a deciding game being played at home at the Memorial Coliseum in the jungle. Chance for you to be a part of a deciding game in an ECHL playoff series. Nothing better. And who's got plans on a Monday? I mean, nobody has plans on a Monday. I don't have plans on a Friday or Saturday, but most people that have a social life don't have plans on a Monday. So you can get out to the Coliseum. I know a guy who does have plans, but his plans involve being at the Coliseum because he's joining us right now on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline from the Journal-Gazette covering the Comets like no other. It is Justin Cohn. Good afternoon, Justin.
How's it going?
Going well. Would have been nice to get this thing done in four, but this has kind of been the pattern for these two teams back and forth. I didn't have a chance to see it. I had to be at the Tin Caps game on Saturday. Sometimes I get my information from video clips, which is probably the worst thing to do. But I will say that I just felt like listening to Shane and watching what I saw, that Wichita played maybe as the more desperate team. And obviously that seems like a simple thing to say, but did they?
I'd say a little bit. There was definitely a lot of pushback, which is sort of the term of this series, from Wichita, and they got an early lead on kind of a soft goal. But Fort Wayne tied it, and really what it came down to was a couple really costly turnovers, one in neutral ice and the other in the Wichita zone, and they're really good in transition, so they turned those into goals. And there weren't a ton of mistakes made by Fort Wayne, but Wichita capitalized on the two big ones.
How's the series being officiated? Are you noticing any difference in how it's being officiated in the playoffs than what you saw in the regular season?
Well, it's a little bit different. They go to a two-referee system in the playoffs, and I'm personally not a big fan of doing that just because you're taking two guys who haven't worked together all season and then asking them to be on the same page and at the top of their game. But that being said, the last two games I thought were officiated pretty well. I mean, if anybody has a gripe, it's probably Wichita, because in game three there were a couple goals that were kind of questionable as to whether they were interference or not. And the first two games of the series, I kind of throw those out the window. I mean, they were playing on the Olympic ice, and there's these strange delay of game penalties and all that. I mean, those were not greatly officiated, but the whole atmosphere was very weird. But I don't think that has been deciding the series in any way.
Okay, so I've come up with a list, and I said it on the show on Friday, a list of Comet keys to victory. And I feel like they came through with these things on Friday. So I'm going to say them again, and you tell me if I'm on the right track. I've got defense from the forwards getting back in transition. They have to hustle back. They can't be lazy. They can't trail a guy down the ice. Get back in transition. Number two, stay out of the penalty box. Always important in the playoffs. Number three, get goals from your goal scorers, your big-time guys like Vive, Jenks, Petruzzelli, Watt, Sulawski. Get the goals from those guys. The ones you get from Harper and Hawkins and those guys, that's a bonus. And then finally, Dylan Ferguson has to be the man. You got to get good goaltending. You can't let up anything soft. Every goal means something and is magnified. How close am I?
I think those are all good ones. The one that I would add is getting off to a good start. I know that sounds obvious, but it's been an Achilles heel for Fort Wayne all season long. And that was the one big difference in game three, is that Fort Wayne finally got a lead, and they were able to play with the lead and played really well with the lead. So if they have to go play catch up again tonight, that would not put them in a good position, because that's when they start taking penalties, getting too aggressive, turning the puck over, doing some things that can really be dangerous. So if they can establish a lead, that would be huge.
There was, I believe, at least you tell me, you were in the facility. Did it seem like a noticeable difference with the energy and the enthusiasm with the crowd? And it wasn't even at 5,000, it was at 3,500. But it seemed to me, just listening to the broadcast, that there was a little more energy from the crowd.
Oh, 100%. And it's not all just a product of there being more fans. You got to remember, they're almost all in the lower bowl now, because they don't have to sit in the pod system like they were during the regular season. So there was, I thought, a really good atmosphere there, especially on Friday. Still toned down from what we're accustomed to. But let's remember, it's June, and there's a lot of different factors that are affecting ticket sales at this point, and the temperature, and just all kinds of factors. But all things considered, I thought the atmosphere was pretty good over the weekend.
What's the decision, and how tough a decision for Ben Boudreaux to decide who to scratch and who to play tonight? I know Lischarchik was out. Was that game four, game three, or both? But I thought, boy, he's had some pretty good games. What about the decision on who plays, who sits?
Well, I think the big decision, I mean, Starchuk was sitting so they could get Sadlowski back in there. But I think the big decision you have to make is freshness versus experience. So, you know, Four Wings played a lot of games. They've got some fresh legs sitting on the sidelines, and these are guys that would be perfect for this type of series, guys like Oliver Cooper and Jackson Leaf, because they're energy guys, grinders, and that's kind of what they need right now. But the flip side is, you know, you're going to have to sit, you know, some of your more experienced guys to get them into the lineup, especially in Cooper's case. I mean, he's a rookie. And so that's the decision you have to make. I said this yesterday, I would like getting Oliver Cooper in there because I just think he's, as long as he stays out of the box, I mean, he just makes so many good things happen when he's on the ice. But who do you sit? I mean, it would probably have to be somebody like Sadlowski or Adams Boizon, somebody like that. And the bigger thing is that I think they need some fresh legs on defense right now, and they've only got one guy on the shelf, and that's Marcus McIver, and he's coming off an injury. So I'm not even sure whether he's available, but I would expect some change tonight. But it's tough to get in his head and guess what it'll be.
Last question, real quick. I know there's plenty of other action around the ECHL, and I saw where South Carolina has forced a Game 5 against Florida. Any big surprise there?
South Carolina is really good. You know, it's a similar situation to this series in which, you know, Florida and Fort Wayne both come in home needing to win 2 out of 3. And, you know, if you can't accomplish that, then really you don't deserve to go on, right? But, no, South Carolina and Florida, that's a rivalry, both really good teams. I had Florida going to the finals and losing to Allen, but really nothing would shock me of any of the teams that are still playing.
Yeah, I mentioned to Caleb before we came on the air, I said, Coney's looking pretty good with his pick of Allen because he took Allen, and they made very quick work of Utah. So it does look right now like Allen's the team to beat.
Yeah, I mean, that was a big mismatch, though. And whoever Allen plays out of this series, it should be a really good series because there's just a lot of big guns and a lot of good matchups in that one.
Have you got a pick for tonight?
I'm sticking with what I said coming into the series, which was Comets in 5. And unless I see convincing evidence, I don't need to stray from it. But I just think home ice, I find it hard to imagine them losing 2 in a row on home ice in potential clinching games. That would be very un-Comet-like to me.
Yeah, I just remember that weekend series against Wichita with a win on Friday and 2 consecutive losses. So I hope the Comets do come out like they did on Friday, get an early lead, set a tone, and take care of business, move on to the next round where they'll start with Allen, hopefully, on Friday. Justin, thanks so much. We'll follow all of your Twitter comments tonight. Also, follow what you have to say at the Journal Gazette, jg.net. Of course, you can pick up a paper and read the full column from Justin Cohn. Thanks. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Brett.
And, of course, he is on Twitter at SportsICohn. That is S-P-O-R-T-S, letter I, C-O-H-N, SportsICohn. And that way you'll get, because he keeps up with everything. Not only does he post updates throughout the game, but he also posts the video clips to match the updates. And so you always get a chance to not only see, hear, read everything that's happening with tonight's Comet game. Hopefully you'll be at the Coliseum. Plenty of tickets are available. Absolutely plenty of tickets. Don't hesitate to get out there tonight as the Comets take on the Wichita Thunder. Game 5, deciding game of this series. Winner goes to Allen to start the next series. And it's going to be another situation like it is here. Comets don't have home ice. Wichita doesn't have home ice advantage against Allen, but Allen's going to have to host the first two games because of a scheduling conflict. And so if the Comets can get through this one, they'll have a similar schedule as they did last series. 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. Any questions, comments, or suggestions? Coming up in our next hour, we're going to talk to the voice of the Comets. It'll be Shane Alberani who joins us coming up at 5:20. By the way, word that broke from the Purdue-Fort Wayne High School camp last week that is finally out there, so I guess I can talk about it. See, sometimes, Caleb, I hesitate to be a reporter. Um, I I'll talk about things that are reported by others and give my opinion on them, but I'm not a big break the news type of thing. And of course, I think I might have even talked to you off the air about it, but we've known this for some time that Jaylen Jackson is transferring following his mother, who's taking over as the Northrop girls coach, and following his sisters. He is leaving Carroll and he is joining the Northrop basketball team. And since he was wearing the orange jersey of Northrop at the Purdue Fort Wayne basketball camp last week, I guess it was recognized by a couple of people who posted it on social media, so I can talk about it now. He's one of those guys that has tremendous talent, but it's like, okay, does it fit perfectly into the mold of a power conference school? Is he always going to be too short? Is he always going to be the second best 3-point shooter? Is he going to be the second best ball handler? Is he going to, you look at that, or this kid could go to a mid-major and he could probably be a player a lot like a Bryson Scott, who, went off to Purdue, gave it a shot at the Big Ten. His game just didn't fit. He was kind of an undersized power guard is really what Bryson Scott was. It's the only way to explain him. You have power forwards, and then you have power guards that are like 6'2", but packed with muscle and attack the basket and play physical at the rim. Bryson Scott had a knack for finishing over bigger players because of his physicality, and he was able to attack, he was able to score, and he worked on his jump shot, and eventually, he got himself over 30% from beyond the arc. But I think the games are pretty similar. A lot of similarities between Jaylen Jackson and Bryson Scott, and it'll be interesting to see where he finally decides that he is going to go in college, but now we know where he will be in high school, where he will be at Northrop. And, the other thing is, because he's got a statewide reputation, as soon as somebody posts it, you've got idiots that have no knowledge of his situation. This should be banned by the IHSAA. Where's the IHSAA in this? They should be banning it. It's like, okay, his mom got the job as the head coach of the Northrop girls basketball team. He has sisters that play high school basketball. It would only make sense that the girls would want to play for their mother. And if his whole family is going to be over at Northrop, why would he stay at Carroll? There are situations that are bigger than basketball. And it drives me nuts when people weigh in and just throw comments out there without really understanding the whole context of the situation. We will take a timeout coming up. Another big hour here on the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix. We've got to talk about the Tin Caps. We've got to talk about what's happening with the NBA. I didn't exactly hit it. I didn't exactly nail it with my Friday prediction. And I said come Monday, if I was wrong, I would never mention it, and it would be like it went away. And I'm going to actually mention it because there's a reason I was wrong. And that's what we're going to talk about. Also, we'll talk to Shane Alberani. He'll give us an update on what's happening tonight with the Comets as they get set to take on the Wichita Thunder. Big Monday edition of the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM.
Podcasts by Federated Media.